As the debt ceiling debate continues, there are a lot of numbers being thrown around. A trillion in cuts here, a trillion in cuts there. But will this actually lead to reduced spending? Or are these just more budgetary gimmicks? Take Senator Harry Reid's plan, which boasts $1 trillion in savings for winding down the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, that probably will be wound down regardless of whether his proposal becomes law. Here to discuss this deficit reduction distortion is Reason Magazine Associate Editor Peter Suderman. Peter, it's a pleasure. Welcome here. Let's start with the Democratic proposal, which presumes that somehow $1 trillion is going to materialize somewhere because the troops will be brought home. We know they're coming home anyway. Will the Pentagon spend that money anyway? Is it realistic to suggest that this is the trillion in savings to offset the trillion in borrowing that the president wants?
No, it's not realistic at all. I mean, look, what the Democrats are doing here is saying that that in the long term, the troops are going to come home. And so we're going to include that in the budget, because right now the budget doesn't actually include that. When the Congressional Budget Office scores the war, they score the price of the war as the same this year, the same the next year, the same the year after that, and on and on and on. They assume that we basically spend the same amount every year going forward. Well, that's not going to happen. Eventually, the war is going to end. We're going to draw down the troops, and we're going to spend less money. And so what the Congressional Budget Office has said is that, look, if you write up a plan to take these troops out of the battle zone, then we'll give you $1 trillion in cuts here. But that trillion dollars in cuts, that's going to happen already. And so this is basically counting on cuts that were already going to happen.
The numbers really upset me, and I think they upset a lot of people watching now. For example, if Speaker Boehner says we'll borrow $1 trillion tomorrow, but spend $1 trillion less at the end of 3 or 4 years from now, those numbers are not interchangeable. First, $1 trillion today is worth a lot more than $1 trillion in the future because of the time value of money. And secondly, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, there is no lawful or constitutional way that the present Congress can bind a future president and Congress as to what it and they might spend 4 or 10 years from now.
That's certainly correct. I mean, Congress has tried to do this in the past. If you want to look at one sort of small example, I mean, it's small and growing, is the Medicare payments to physicians. In the 90s, Congress passed a law saying that, look, we're going to pay Medicare physicians based on this formula. And this formula started calling for cuts in 2003, 2004. And so Congress has since then overridden that formula every single year because Congress doesn't want those cuts to go through. And so when Congress says, look, in the future, we're going to make these cuts, don't believe them.
Isn't health care, isn't the federal government's involvement in health care, put aside the constitutional arguments for a moment, really the root cause of so many of these problems? The idea that the federal government will keep you well-fed or keep you healthy is costing more than we are able to pay for it. And that justifies the continued borrowing and then more borrowing in order to pay the interest on the money that is borrowed, sort of borrowing without end because of these health care costs that the federal government has claimed it will take care of.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at the big problems, the big failures of all of the debt deals that are being proposed here, the biggest single one is the failure to deal with the cost of entitlements and, in particular, the cost of Medicare and Medicaid. I mean, you go back to 1966 and go all the way to 2007, and federal spending on health care is responsible for the entire growth of the federal government as a percentage of GDP between 1966 and 2007. So, I mean, Medicare, Medicaid, those are the problems. And if you look forward, they're the cause of the biggest, they're the biggest debt drivers as well. I mean, Obama has said this. Obama said the other day, you can't raise taxes enough to continue paying for Medicare to exist in the state that it exists in now. And yet none of these plans offer really fundamental reforms to either of those programs. You're basically looking at, you know, provider cuts, the same kind that Congress has overridden a bunch of times.
Right. Peter,
it's
thanks very much.
It's just not believable.
Got it. Appreciate
so
your thoughts.
Me.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.